Hi there, Vet Blast podcast listeners. Tired of overcrowded CE rooms and conferences that don't feel worth your time? Well, you're in luck. This St. Patrick's Day week, and join us at Fet Charlotte, your destination for practical, real-world continuing education you can immediately apply in your clinic. And here's the kicker. We take care of you while you're here. That means complimentary meals and snacks are included, so you can focus on learning and networking without having to worry about logistics. We're offering up to 47 CE credits, including on-demand options, along with 7 unique hands-on labs. So, what are you waiting for? Head to dvm360events.com and register today for Fet Charlotte.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. Love celebrating our colleagues doing incredible stuff in and out of the exam room. And we now have an author, a new author that has joined is in our profession, but has joined the author category now. Dr. Tyler Primavera is in the house. How are you, Doc?
Doing good. How are you doing, Adam?
Good. Thanks. Thanks for joining us. And congratulations on now being an author. This is awesome.
Thank you. It's, some of our colleagues, they do these fancy publications about mitral valve disease and the latest technology. My publication is a kid's book, so that's who I am.
I love it. Well, they say it's actually much harder to publish a children's book than any other book out there. So, yeah, that's tough, especially an illustrated children's book, which we're going to chat about in a second. So to our listeners, Dr. Primavera is a practicing veterinarian. He recently published the self-published children's book, and it's called Eli, the Flying Dog, which is awesome. When not at the clinic, he can be found working on his business, Vetspacito, which seeks to help more pets get better care poco a poco, or little by little. Vetspacito has a wide range of educational client veterinary videos, both in English and in Spanish, on YouTube. When not working, he enjoys dancing, and we are going to learn more about his book. Okay, well, first, let's back up a little bit, because I want to give a shout out for the great work that you're doing with Vetspacito, because learning both languages, specifically in this context, Spanish and English, are so crucial. So what has that been like for you and for, learners out there?
In terms of like the why behind it, or just a general overview?
Yeah, the why.
Sure. So when I was practicing in Oregon, I noticed a lot of my clients would speak Spanish, and a lot of them would have these intact pets. And as we all know, the problem with intact pets is they get a lot of health issues. And so I was kind of persistent. I was like, hey, I can't just jump on to the next appointment. Like, I'm going to go online, Google Translate, whatever, go to the different resources, print them out a page in Spanish about neutering, and then give it to them. And then over time, that kind of evolved into videos because, a lot of us are visual learners. All with the same goal of helping more pets get better care. And it's been a weird ride. We've tried different things, but the YouTube videos have kind of remained consistent there.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And it's great work that you're doing there. So I wanted to make sure we shouted that out too. So awesome job. Okay. So to the listeners, I know this is a podcast, but what I'm holding in my hand is this wonderful children's book called Eli, the Flying Dog by Tyler Primavera, illustrated by, how do you pronounce the name, by the way? I apologize.
It's okay. It's a Turkish name. My wonderful illustrator from Turkey. I'm going to say Bubu, but our Turkish listeners can correct me for my mispronunciation.
Yeah, it's beautifully illustrated with a great story behind it. So tell us a little bit about the backstory behind Eli, the Flying Dog.
Sure, sure. And I have to answer your question without giving too much of this away. Yeah. But my dog, Eli, inspired me to become a vet. In high school, we adopted him off of Craigslist. People get a little crazy about adopting dogs off of Craigslist. You got to be careful. Yeah. Turned out good for me. And at that point, I never thought about becoming a vet until having Eli as my dog. And, well, I'm a vet now, so that can tell you a lot about kind of what happened there.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting, and I know so many of the listeners can relate to this, is two things. One that I was telling you before we were recording this is it just takes a moment to have an inspiration, whether it be a job shadow experience or similar to you and I, it was a dog growing up. You know, it was just that moment that touched our hearts to be like, I want to enter this profession. Is that similar to your journey?
I really had not even thought about becoming a vet before having my own dog. Is that the case with you too, Adam?
I really, I got instantly inspired. I was young too. I think I was six. And so I was like completely glued to Archie was their dog growing up. But it's pretty awesome. And you know, the other thing is that there are obstacles in writing a book, isn't, aren't there? I'm sure. So what were some of them for you?
Sure. Well, the biggest one of the bigger ones was clinical practice, working as a vet, and just life in general. I started this book, intended to publish it within like 6 to 9 months, ended up taking me 2 years, but I'm glad I took so long because otherwise it wouldn't be what it is today.
Well, it is. It's a really good book. The other part, I'm not giving it away to the listeners, but there is a part where you go off to college. And so many of you listening right now, remember what that was like when, okay, it's one thing to say goodbye to your family, you know, but the family pet, the dog, the cat, the farm, that was hard. And I know because I've read your book that it was hard for you as well. I know it was for me, right? That's it's a tough thing that we don't really talk too much about.
Yeah, and we have things like video calling and FaceTime. Some pets understand what FaceTime is. Eli did not understand that. He was like, what is, I don't know.
I think it makes us feel better, right? Knowing that we can see their faces and boop the nose on the screen.
Exactly.
And I know some of our colleagues out there are interested in writing their own book. I speak to many of you through through DVM360. Are there any tips for people looking to self-publish a book?
Sure. There's different authors out there that give good advice. There's a Bird by Bird. It's a really good book on writing. But there's a famous author, Tim Ferriss, because he's a well-known author, for our work week, for our this and that. When people ask him about should they write a book, his general response is, can you spend 1 year full time working on it? If yes, then yes. If no, then no. I think his stance is a little extreme. I can't quit my job for a year just to write a book. But I think of it is this like a bucket list thing? Why are you doing this? Are you doing it to advance your career, to make more money? If so, that's fine. But it's not going to be as resonant with people if you're pouring out your soul into this thing. For me, this was kind of a bucket list thing, right? If I, for some reason, pass away while writing this book, it will still be worth trying to write because that's how much it means to me.
You know, at our Fetch conferences this year, our theme is storytellers because we're all storytellers in what we do and what we say, whether we're in the exam room or not. And this is one chapter, I would say, in your life journey that you're talking about of doing something that's really remarkable. And part of your legacy is telling the story. And now everyone gets to share the love of Eli in this book that you've done. So, which is, that's got to make you feel amazing, right? What a nice tribute.
And the funny thing is, when writing this book, I couldn't really decide what age group this was for. And a lot of kids, they'll read it and they say, I love this one silly part and completely miss the point of the book. Or they just see it from a different perspective and their point of the book is not what I intended.
And one of your points of the book, which is something that can be very challenging for children specifically to understand, is grief. And, you know, what are some of the tips out there to help clients handle grief?
I think everyone handles it differently. It may take different forms of connection with your inner circle, your family, your friends. Also, taking care of your physical body, I think, is an important part of that. But really, there's all the stages of grief, and I think being patient is a big part of it. Like being patient with yourself. I think you and I, Adam, are both type A people. Yeah. We want things done yesterday. And we can be very hard on ourselves, but just giving us that grace to say, hey, it might take me longer than I would like to get over this. And I'm not okay right now, but that's okay, because it's not forever.
Right. It's okay to not be okay. And we know that there's all those different stages of grief out there. I was chatting with one of our great colleagues, Dr. Mary Gardner, about this. And, you know, when she talks to pet owners about, you know, handling grief, she brings up a really great point, Tyler. And I want to share this with you and the listeners. She says, we may suffer, but they never will. And that really resonates with me, because we may suffer with grief. We may hurt. It's supposed to hurt. It's going to hurt. But they will never hurt. You know, it's a wonderful thing we have in this profession with having them cross over with free from pain, you know, with dignity and respect and all those things. And it's a nice thing to teach. This is more for, you know, adults to understand and process too. But I thought it was a really great understanding about that it's okay to be hurt. It's okay to be mad and angry and all those feels that go through with grief. But it's always important to understand that our pets will never feel that any sort of pain that they may be. You know what I mean? So I thought that was really an interesting component.
Yeah, and in terms of the stages of grief, there's a kid's book called The Rabbit Listened. Have you heard of that?
I heard of it, yeah, yes.
Really good book. Really good. That was one of my inspirations for this book. And even for adults, like, I think there's always going to be a time in our life when we need to read The Rabbit Listened.
Yeah. And the many adventures that Eli does, and we won't give it away why he's called the flying dog, because it is very cute and funny. But, you know, you do touch upon, obviously, you know, end of life, because obviously, you know, your boy has crossed over. But it's a nice way for children to understand that, you know, this is what happens with living, breathing creatures, is that they do pass away. So did that come into play when you were thinking of writing this book? Was that one of the big goals that you wanted for the book, to have for kids to understand?
Well, I wrote it definitely, you know, for kids, but I wrote it in a way that it would hopefully resonate with some adults too.
Yeah.
And maybe trick them into reading and like working on their emotional selves. Don't tell them. You won't tell them, right, Adam?
Of course. No. Nobody's going to know.
Okay. Okay. That's good.
Yeah, I could see this. I was going to say, I could see this book like in the exam rooms, you know, it's like one of those things to have at the veterinary hospital. I would even recommend giving this away to clients, having a stack of these, like purchasing these books and giving them to those families that you just know that they might have a little bit of a hard time understanding what just happened. Maybe they weren't present in the exam room or for the home euthanasia, whatever that might be. And maybe this book may help them with that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and I think we've all been in the exam room or the clinic that has the dusty book, Fluffy Crosses Over the Rainbow Bridge, with a sad looking cover, and you kind of get sad looking at it and you don't really read it and the clients don't touch it. Whereas this book, it's not just talking about the sad parts, but, you know, this is a story of the ups and downs of a dog's life, the happy, the sad, and sometimes the gross moments. Because I think if we focus on just one, we're kind of missing the bigger picture.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And it's showing you how to celebrate the life of your animals. You know, I mean, and the adventures that Eli has done certainly are portrayed in this book. So this is great. How has this been received from people that you've heard and that have read the book?
Sure. So one of the earlier reviewers, a few kids, I think two boys, like 7 and 9, they were the ones who like completely focused on like the poop joke. Like they were like, that was the best. That was the best. I cannot get over how good that poop joke was. And I'm like, that's not the point of the book, but okay.
Right.
And then recently a family, my aunt bought the book for a little girl, like 5 years old, it became her most favorite book. I don't think she really gets it though, but she loves the book and the pictures.
Right. Yeah. Well, listen, that's the beauty behind a children's book. To your point, like they may get it perceived a different way, and that's okay. And I will say I'm going through this as I'm chatting with you now to the listeners, and the images and the cartoon pictures are so stinking cute. That's what makes it even adorable. It right? It really is. It's just so cute. And just to see what the human animal bond is all about. When I looked at this, I took a step back and I was like, gosh, this makes me proud to be a veterinarian, to be part of their family and taking care of these animals. And so, I think it's great. So thank you for sharing that component. And this explains your why. This is your why with what you do now is because of this guy.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah. It really is. So what else? I got to ask, because you have a very busy brain, and I love that. You're always thinking of different opportunities out there, Dr. Primavera. So any other projects or ventures in addition to practicing medicine?
So I'm working on a software project to help with basically record keeping in the veterinary space. I took a class in coding after becoming a vet because I was just basically fed up with the junk that we have. So I won't say too much more, but I'm excited to be working on that.
Nice. Excellent. Well, the book is called Eli, The Flying Dog by Dr. Tyler Primavetta, and we'll put all the information in the show notes as well. And where can they get a copy of this?
Sure. It can be found on Amazon. It's cheaper if you go to my link tree and I get a bigger cut and you pay less, so I think it's a win-win there. But really, you look up Eli the Flying Dog, you'll find it.
Yeah, well, we listeners, listen, we love to support our own like this. So support our colleague out like that and make him make some money, of course. You deserve it, you know? So proud of you. Congratulations on all your success, my friend.
Thank you. And really, the money helps, but like just buy one for yourself, buy one
Yeah.
for someone else that you know, and that's how we can get the word out.
Absolutely. Like I said, I would definitely want to have this in the veterinary hospital. I think it's great to have a few copies and then something worth reading. And then if you just love animals and celebrating the love of what they do, this book is for all of us out there. So thank you again, Dr. Primavera. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast, and we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.